Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
Oh, Christmas tree, what kind of Christmas tree should you get this year? I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hello, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, the top Christmas tree contenders.
It's really great. There's a National Christmas Tree Association that is...
I had no idea.
...for Christmas tree vendors, you know, growers of Christmas trees, mm-hmm. and the people that supply them with products and other services. And because there is a National Christmas Tree Association, they've given us a real clear path as to selecting our Christmas tree.
Okay.
And we can kind of go down the line. You've got your fir trees, pine trees, and spruce, cypress, and cedar. And in the fir category are the top three performers based on their smell, mm-hmm. their retaining needles, and the retaining color.
Oh, those are all very important points.
Yeah, so, and I think it's interesting, too, because a lot of these are landscaping plants also. So if we look at the fir category, you've got balsam, Canaan, Douglas, Fraser, Noble, and White firs. Firs are nice because they're usually a soft needle. They don't bite, you know, and you're reaching in to hang that ornament that goes mm-hmm. on the inside of the tree. And if you're someone that prefers a Charlie Brown type Christmas tree, I would be one of those people.
Uh-huh.
Where you can see the trunk and the network of branches, the balsam, Fraser, and Noble firs are noteworthy for this because they have this steely bark and they have this really charming mossy lichen that grows on the trunk and the branches.
I'm liking that.
You're liking the lichen. And then we've got the pines. We've got the white pine and Scotch pine are very common. And there's Virginia pine. Out of those three pines, I think Virginia is the best because of its color.
Really? Is it a deep, deep green?
It's water green is what it's been described as.
Cool.
And the Virginia pine is much more feathery and less pine-like than the Scotch pine and white pine. White pine's native here to the Midwest. Scotch pines are one of the oldest varieties of Christmas trees, and you got to watch those because sometimes they are painted. They put dye on the trunk and stuff to kind of suppress the copper color of the wood in that type of tree. So moving on to spruce. Spruce, we have the Colorado blue, Norway, and white spruce. This category is interesting to me and hopefully to everybody because this is the category of live trees that are most common and often most successful.
Okay.
So if you bring a live tree into the house, or one of these types of spruces, it's got about 48 hours in the house. So you got to get the hole dug ahead of time, mm-hmm. and you've got to put it in a tub of some kind that allow you to bring it in the house, decorate it, open the presents Christmas Day, and then maybe after that...
Boxing Day, get it back out there.
Start to take it back outside, and you got to have some dirt saved to fill the hole. So there's a little extra work there. In the cypress category, we have the Arizona and the Leland cypress, an interesting Christmas tree, no doubt. They're hard to find as a fresh-cut tree in the Midwest. But as you start venturing away from the heartland, you can see this tree for sale in garden centers as a Christmas tree, fresh-cut Christmas tree.
Okay.
And lastly, for the Midwestern inventory, we have the cedar tree, Eastern Red Cedar. It's a very feathery type of tree. I do not know how this could be a desirable Christmas tree. I just don't. They dry out quickly.
Okay.
They are fragrant, but needle drop quick. So if you got a short Christmas holiday celebration to consider, that's where to go. But hey, let's think about the tropics.
Okay. What are some choices there?
The folks along the coast. We've got the Carolina sapphire.
Okay.
And it looks a little bit like the cedar, except for it's just not going to dry out as quickly. It has a lemony fragrance.
Like it.
And even though it's got this teeny tiny needles that are a coarse needle, it still has a fine feathery appearance and it has good needle retention. You can also find the Carolina sapphire in a steel blue color.
I'll go for that.
So there's cultivar differences there. Deodara cedar is a fragrant type of cedar that's, again, similar to our Midwestern cedar, but has better needle retention. And Norfolk Island pine is a common interior foliage and interior scaping plant. Florida, California places are very, very routine to see this in a home as a Christmas tree.
Okay, what about the so-called U-pine?
The podocarpus is a type of needled plant that the leaves look like needles.
Oh.
And what's neat about the U-pine is that they can grow very narrow and tall, or they can be broad and short. So they can kind of fit the different kinds of situations, and they're a common landscaping plant in these tropical coastal regions.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, Christmas trees to consider for your holiday decor and keeping them looking pretty, too.
That's a big part of it, and it's a big part of the memories of Christmas trees for a lot of us, too. So, mm-hmm. A lot of us worked at Christmas tree lots for a couple weeks in the winter during vacation break, in high school, and the big fun part of that for me and the experiences my brothers and I had was tying the bundled tree on top of people's cars. That was the tipping opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
To get some gratuity for service. So after this has happened and you've tipped the Christmas tree person and they've bundled and tied that tree to your vehicle, take it home as soon as you can and get it unbundled and then place it in the stand. Get it nice and straight outside in the stand. This is all happening outside or in your garage or on the
porch.
Patio, right, front porch. But place it in the stand for a day or two in a dry place, So this will allow the branches and the boughs to kind of come back down because they're going to be smashed in an upright position.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also going to give you a chance to add some warm water to the tree stand, and that will loosen up any frozen sap that's at the base of the trunk where the fresh cut was made.
Huh.
So if that tree traveled through winter weather, or it sat in a tree lot with snow and ice, that's one big thing you got to remember. But after you've added the warm water that first time, it will loosen up the frozen sap, and then you can just keep that stand filled with regular water. Before you bring it in, you have one last chance to do any pruning and cleanup on it and apply anti-desiccant to help retain the needles.
Make sure there's no raccoons in there.
Make sure there's no bird nests or raccoons. The anti-desiccants can also kind of make the tree look like it's wet, but it's not, and that can enhance its color. And then after that, you can take it inside to celebrate the Christmas holiday. And that'll keep you out of trouble. So once it's in the house, all you have to do is keep that stand filled full of water.
And that's maybe a daily kind of a thing?
Yeah, and I think you have to check it for the first 2 or 3 days that it's in the house so mm-hmm. you can get a good feel for how quickly the water is wicking up and evaporating at the same time.
And it just seems to me that you would not want to put it near a vent where there's heat blowing up onto it.
I think that's pretty smart, and if you can do that, that's great. If there's a register vent or something like that that's blowing on the tree and it can't be closed, cover it, because it will speed up the drying.
Mm-hmm.
And a dry tree is a hazard because they are flammable.
We don't want flammable.
We don't want any Christmas tree fires. That's not good.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay, Murph, some great suggestions there for Christmas trees. Coming up next week on GLT's Grow. Now, everybody, has, if you've had a lot of experience with Christmas trees, maybe you'd like to try something new, all right? So we're going to have some suggestions on untraditional indoor holiday decor. We'll have some ideas for you to try out things that maybe you've never tried before to jazz up your holidays. And if you've got a gardening question or a problem that you would like to send to Murph, my goodness, we'd like to hear from you any time of year. Go to our website, wglt.org/grow. There's a form there you can fill out. You can send it along to us. You can include a photo as well. And maybe Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. So submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.